we're up to page Kuf Chav Zayin. Okay, Sari Meinu. Meir Shana, the Esmer Shana, the Sheva Shana. Everything has a simen. And we're up to Halacha Samachay. Samachay Mutu Loim Lachaver Maleli Kleizin. And the reason why the Mechabe, the Kishuch Lach is discussing this Halacha, we're really in the middle of the Sugi of Kaisev. And that is because there are many transactions that are forbidden on Shabbos only because of a gzera you may come to write. In other words, on Shabbos, why are we not allowed to engage in business? Everyone knows the joke. I'll just repeat the joke just to make light. You come to shul, and there are two people sitting next to each other, and they say, I have an old car, and Nish Shabbos Kadet. Nish Shabbos Kadet. It has 100,000 miles. You know, it's 5 years old. I'm asking $5,000. Nish Shabbos Kadet. So that one says, Nish Shabbos Kadet, I'll give you $4,000. Nish Shabbos Kadet, let me think about it. And they continue this conversation, on and on and on. Every time they have another detail they want to describe Nish Shabbos. And then he comes back, Mincha, and he says to them, okay, I'll take it. I'll take it for four nis Shabbos Kedet, but I'll take it for $4,500. And the other one says nis Shabbos Kedet, but it's sold. Novel Rishos HaTorah. You're not allowed to engage in business transactions on Shabbos. Why not? So the simplest reason is because the pasuk of Yeshaya, v'daber davar, umimotze chefsecha. It's a violation of the spirit of Shabbos. Your talk on Shabbos has to be different than the talk during the week, and your activities, umimotze chefsecha, your activities have to be different, even though technically you're not doing anything wrong. That is the halacha. But that's not the only reason. The other reasons why you're not allowed to engage in business is because of a gezerah you may come to write. You may come to write down something on a piece of paper. That's why this halacha, all the halachas now are part of Kosef. And l'may nafkamina, the nafkamina is, I'm not doing business for the purpose of business. I'm doing business for the covered Shabbos. I need to purchase food for Shabbos. I have a meal. I become aware that I have five more guests that are coming over for my Shabbos meal. So I'm going to go to the store. I'm going to buy, there's an Eruv. We live in some type of community where there's an Eruv and the store is open. I'm going to the store. I'm going to buy on credit some fish and some cholent. I'm going to bring to my home in order to feed my guests. So here one can make a very strong argument that there is no violation of a daber davar umimotzei chefsecha, because I'm not doing it for my personal gain. I'm doing it for the purpose of Shabbos. But I'm engaging in business. I'm selling merchandise to people who need things for Shabbos. So I'm buying things for Shabbos. So one can make that argument. That is where the law of kosef kicks in. Just because you may have very good intent that you may want to do these things for Shabbos, for the honor of Shabbos, but you still may come to write down a cheshbon of what you've purchased, what you've sold on Shabbos. So it's still asur, even though you have the best of intentions. Any dar mitzvah which requires, which has details, it would be awesome. That's why it has to be done. That's what we're coming to explain now, the way it can be done. But I'm desperate. I need the food. I have to have the food. Okay, we're going to make exceptions, but the way we're going to do the transaction, it has to be done in an unusual way to prevent you from forgetting and coming to write something down. What?
How do you sell?
Oh, so we're going to say, that's Chefse Shemayim. So selling aliyahs, it's not so simple. It's not so simple, and it's an exception to the rule. It's an exception to the rule. It's not something that's tangible. Business transactions where you sell real goods. You're not selling Bitcoin, what are called Bitcoins. You're not selling make-believe things that have no basis in the world of reality, in the world of nature. So selling aliyahs are not something which is physical, something which is spiritual. So that is, since the money is needed for Dvar Tzedakah, that is an exception, but you should be aware that not everyone is so pleased with this custom. Same exact thing. Well, the appeal, you're not selling anything. There, you're just making a pledge. It's not, that's a little bit better. In an Ali, you're actually purchasing something. I'm purchasing the right to this Ali, or I'm purchasing the right to distribute Hagba, Glila, things like that. So that, you buy an Aliyah, the way most shuls, you don't buy it for yourself. You buy the right to give it to who you want. to assign it. That's the way most shuls, I mean, people, they sometimes you buy for yourself, but normally the way it's placed, I've been at, is most people who buy it don't take it for themselves. They buy it for someone else.
But the problem is recording it.
Oh, the problem is recording it, exactly. So the problem is that you may come to record, and indeed that's when you see the Gabon, they do some things that are very questionable, paper clips, and they I mean, not questionable, there are certain techniques that they are used, because you can't write on Shabbos. But it is a real problem. Now, I'll tell you one. Yeah, yeah.
I'm sorry. It's the same thing with the Mishnah in the Shabbos Parak Kavod, where you can't put place cards when you have a simcha.
Excellent. That's exactly what they mentioned. Now, this halacha, not well known halacha, and it's a very important halacha, and the Olam is not careful in this halacha as much as we should be. When you make a simcha on Shabbos, you're not allowed to have a guest list. It's a fairish halacha and Shulchan Aruch. If you're making, let's say, a Shabbos Sheva Brachas. Shabbos Sheva Brachas, assigned seating, right? So you're inviting a fancy, you know, a fancy hall, 100 couples are coming to the Shabbos Sheva Brachas. You make all the arrangements before Shabbos, make all the place cards, but it's always going to happen. There's going to be a person that's not there, or so by a wedding you'll always see someone. By a wedding, you go to a big wedding, you'll always see some machar holding a list, and they're looking. You go here, you go there, right? Someone's always making the arrangements. That list is an Isser Gomer on Shabbos.
But a place cards are...
Place cards are mutter, because you do the place cards before Shabbos, you put them out, that's perfectly fine. That's fine. But the list, having the list to go through where a person is missing, or someone doesn't have a seat, or someone's sitting in the wrong seat, and going to the list is Usser. It's a Shulchan Aruch. Because you may come to add another name to the list. We may come to delete, to remove a name from the list. You're not allowed to have a list on Shabbos for two things. For guests and a menu. Okay? It's not this, you don't know, because you have to go into the kitchen. Well, what are they doing in the kitchen? When they're preparing the dishes, what are we serving for the first course?
The Gabbaim, like for simple, they just give you the list in advance of all the...
So you have to make all the arrangements.
They're looking at a list when they call
it. Now, list for Aliyahs, maybe. Okay, now list for Aliyahs, you're making a very good point. I don't know, it might be, I don't know the answer, but maybe Aliyahs are different because it's Chesed Shemayim. What?
Hotel for Pesach, I know definitely
they have menus, but in the kitchen, they're pre-printed the menus, but in the kitchen, when they're arranging what they're going to serve, you're asking a good question. I don't know the answer. I have to go back and look at this.
Cards. I don't know this. You have a card that each card is a different name.
Separate thing. It's a very big problem. Rabbi Riviach, he has a section on this, and he just basically says categorically it's awesome. You're not allowed to have a list for two things for a in the kitchen. Maybe the menu people who are sitting at the table. It's not in their power to decide what to serve, not to serve. It's already a done deal. But the people in the kitchen who are preparing the food, if they have a list, they will be inclined every so often to add something to the list or erase something to the list. So having a list for a menu...
But they presumably... It's like, you're going to give a talk, a Sheva Brachos.
No, that's a drasha. That's a drasha.
You bring a piece of paper.
That's a drasha. It's these, you're asking very good, but it's in these two particular areas, the Chazal were very machmir. A guest list and a list of food. These two things are usher on Shabbos, a gezeira you may come to write.
What about saying gematrius?
Gematrius? That's Torah.
Yeah.
Only these two. What?
If they're going working in the kitchen.
So a guy might be different. If a guy that you're not telling him what to do, that's the guy. The guy is doing it for his own convenience. That's like anything else that a guy does. You're not allowed to tell him to do anything for you. But if he has his own, if he's making his own list, so that might be a different matter. We didn't only have Jews. These are two things.
In Israel, they have a list. Who should come for which shop?
So the a lot of the people in the hotels in Israel, a lot of the workers are non-Jews.
No, I'm talking the maitre d',
a lot of them are not Jewish. Okay, I wasn't in Israel. It's not simple. It's not simple. You're not allowed to do this. They have a lot of, they do, the hotels are known to have in Israel.
I can't bring riots.
Okay. A lot of the hotels in Israel are known to have non-Jewish, a lot of non-Jewish workers calling the shots on Shabbos. They could not possibly operate with a staff of only Shomer Shabbos, only Jews, in these big hotels in Eretz Yisrael. But that's the basic yisod. Now here, therefore, as an outgrowth of this yisod, the Kitz Shulchan Aruch now is going to elaborate, and is going to set the rules of how to engage in a business transaction on Shabbos in a kosher way. You're allowed to bring in a measuring cup and ask the merchant, do me the favor and fill up this measuring utensil, even though you see it says 1 pound, it says 1 liter or quart, even though it's a measuring utensil, as long as even if it belongs to the meicher, even if it belongs to the meicher, the kli belongs to the meicher, but the lokeach who takes it and brings it to his home, because that's not the derech mekho memkar. Derech mekho memkar is when the meicher, he takes out a measuring utensil, he fills up a quart and he pours it into your personal utensil. If the lokeach actually takes the measuring utensil that the meicher uses to measure and he takes it home with him, that's already not doimet to mekach memkar. Now when you go into a business and you want, give me a quart, the meicher has in his possession measuring utensils which he uses and he pours what's in the measuring utensil into the private utensils of the buyer. Certainly it's permitted for lokech, he brings his own personal kelim. The other he says malikli ze devadai mutter. That is certainly also, because then you're going, you are engaging in the derech that stand to make a memchem. Another example: give me 50 nuts. Uvelvad shelo yaskeloi shem mido veloi damim. Even though you said 50. And that's pretty close to a business transaction, because that's the precise amount. As long as you don't set a price and you don't say a measure, because that's when it comes to nuts, it was more common to buy in weight than by number. It's mutter. V'gam lo yaseh cheshbon loymar. Don't make any cheshbon. Harei sheyesh lecha biyodi chamishim egoizim. I have already in my hand 50 knots. Tainli oid chamishim v'yilucha biyodi meya. Give me another 50 for a grand total of 100. Once you start making calculations, that's similar to the nekach memkan. That's also. Umikol shekein shelo yaskir loshen mecher. Don't say the word buy or sell. Do me a favor. Can I go into your bakery and can I take some things? Don't use those dirty words on Shabbos. Buy and sell. Afilu ena koytzeit sadim. You don't specify price. Afilu tzach Shabbos. Even tzach Shabbos. The al yidei en Yehudi also liknes b'Shabbos, and through a guy it's also. Yeah, I can't go tell a guy here. Go to the store and buy for me. We're out. We're out of food. Go to the grocery store. Go to ShopRite and pick up some whatever. Whatever you can't do, you can't tell a guy to do. Shluchoi Amirul Yakum is aser. The Takan is aser as well. V'hu adin b'schiros. When it comes to rental as well, you're not allowed to go and rent things. Have a guy rent things on your behalf. Okay, let's do one more halacha. Mutal loyma. We'll see the shem simach in a moment. Mutal loyma lachaver mali klizeh. I tainli bo. You're allowed to tell your friend, fill me up the kli until this utensil or until this mark, and tomorrow we'll measure the equivalent of what you've given me. We'll weigh it, or we will measure how much you've given based upon the mark where it's filled into. So here, well, same idea. As long as you're not doing something which is normally done during the week. Obviously, times have changed and the way we buy and sell is different. But the basic yisod is don't do it on Shabbos the way you would do it during the week. Don't mention the word buy and sell. Don't be too precise. You should estimate and only for the purpose, only if you need it for the, your Shabbos needs, and never set a price. And after Shabbos, then you can go and you can make all the calculations. Okay, let's see the Shiurim Sim Halacha Lama Beis, the previous page. Lashon Mecher Ayin B'Shut Mishmatehu Zil D'Halban. Okay, he's talking about an example of fresh milk. Okay, so it seems like it was very common for people to deliver on Shabbos fresh milk. Let's say the one who owns the farm is a Jew. Is he allowed to make deliveries on Shabbos? So he says the chalban shemachalik achil la'alukuchus, the chalban, the person who owns the farm who distributes milk to the buyers, mibayis the buyers, kimaser b'chol, af she'ain kan kabolas kasaf, even though he's not receiving money on Shabbos, v'loy nisiyah b'yfanim, v'loy nisiyah b'yfanim, he's not going on a bicycle, right? He's not on Shabbos traveling by means of an instrument which will be forbidden on Shabbos. You're not allowed to ride a bicycle on Shabbos. Why not? Even when there's an Erev. Why not? Because it's an item which is the derech is to go outside the tchum. Since a bicycle, the derech you use to travel outside the tchum, you're not allowed to use it even within the tchum. What? Bicycles?
On Shabbos?
On Shabbos?
On Shabbos also?
The Rabbanim allow it?
Okay.
Just because people are doing it does not necessarily mean that the Rabbanim allow to do it. Okay, it's not right. Playing ball. What about playing ball in the street on Shabbos? Of the Chol, Zilzul Shabbos, also Shaila of the same thing, that the derech is that the ball can go outside the, when you play ball, the derech is the ball is something which travels far and it can go outside the Erev and you'll be inclined. not necessarily right. It's very common for the ball to go outside. Baseball. I remember the old hotels. When I was very, very little, my parents must have taken me to like one of these for a weekend getaway.
Pioneer.
Yeah. Pioneer. So I remember I have fond memories of paddle ball. And they were just. It wasn't like Shabbos. It was exactly Shabbos afternoon sports activities.
Beth Torah on Ocean Parkway. I saw someone coming out of a kiddush. There was a pedicab waiting for him. You know, someone was going to pedal them home.
Coming out of the kiddush. All right, I don't know. Okay, so here is the shaila. Are you allowed to make milk deliveries on Shabbos? So he passes that it's osur. Delivering milk on Shabbos, even though you're not taking money and you're not traveling in an oifan, that is forbidden, it's still derech nekach u'memkar. And it's also.
Are you
certainly, if you're going to deliver milk to people and you know that your customers are not Shomer Shabbos, they're Jewish, and they're going to cook the milk on Shabbos, so you're being over on Lifnei Iver. And here you can't go give me the answer, or they can get milk from somewhere else. Not necessarily. You're the only game in town. If you don't deliver their milk, they're not going to have milk, and they're not going to cook. So it's a real example of lifnei iver lo sitein nechshol, because it's only because of you are they able to be mechal Shabbos. So the lekuchos of the shemash mechal began b'yom Shabbos imkin avil oy lifnei iver. The afilum yesh chaban acher even he's. Well, right. I guess they're referring to times when it was not pasteurized, but saying that it's pasteurized, so it's in bishlach abishal. But they might use it for something else. They might use the milk for other types of cooking purposes. In yesh chalban, even if you'll tell me there's another chalban, they can go to the yocholim likach men and become a komisudra bonim yirika. If you'll tell me that, and if you're not going to deliver milk, they'll buy it on Shabbos. So you're not snalif neiver in chanami. It might not be lif neiver de oraisa, but it's at least a lif neiver midrabanim because you are making it easier for them. The ayin bishul b'shem Mordechai b'yam satshuv b'shem shekasa. Even to deliver milk to Goyim is asur, because even though it's true that there's no power with the Iver, they can do whatever they want with the milk, but you are not allowed to engage in business on Shabbos. Even though you're not taking money, it's all behavla, and even though you're not traveling in a way that's forbidden, it's still not Shabbos tickets. And you may come to make cheshbonus, you may come to write down on the ledger exactly how much money, how much milk you have delivered, how much they owe you. Yeah?
In other words, all these yoni which you're talking about is a question being to
business. Well, it's more than that. He's there's ksiva. There's another issue of writing. Any type of business engagement is also included in the geder. You may come to write down. In business, you keep records. That's how you get paid. There has to be a record. And any time that you engage in a business transaction, there's always a concern. You may come to write down what you have done, and that is also. Besides the fact that it's not Shabbistic, that it's a violation of the daber davar mimotzei chavscha. And as we explained, the dafkamin is when it's tzarech, it's Shabbos. I'm purchasing food for Shabbos. Good, you may be purchasing for Shabbos. It's not a called a violation of mimotzei chavscha, but there is still a concern that you may come to write something down in your ledger. And that
the kids are allowed. The guy with his own cup.
Because we trust you in those instances because you're making a shinui.
You may not write it down.
We trust you since you're going. That's right. Since you're going out of your way to engage in this transaction in an unusual way, we trust you that you will not write down a record of what has happened. Absolutely, that's exactly the point. The Ayin B'Shut Chasam Sofer. The Paseh Chanusu B'Kviyas B'Shabbos HaYimachal Mamish. A person that keeps a store open on Shabbos, even though you're not taking money, you're letting people, you trust them, credit. They can come pick up there. They buy before. It's still Chil Shabbos. Zman Shachayu Lo Shutvim Shaitim Malchus. If there was a Bezdin and the Klaus had authority, they would execute people for this. Will you believe it? Hayu Soiklim Al Zeh. They would put people to death for allowing keeping their store open on Shabbos. The Afal gav the dafk beakraya minim b'shas the mekach memka hu b'drabanan v'lo b'kvius. Even though al zed the dafka beakraya minim b'shas the mekach memka hu b'drabanan. Only when a person occasionally engages in business is only b'drabanan. But to be engaged in business, to engage in business continuously every single Saturday, your business is open. I don't know to what degree he really means this. He says it's mamish, an open chil Shabbos. Ad kdei kach, if there was a shofet and a melech, a person would be put to death, and they wouldn't start looking into the details what melacha was, did he violate. The whole idea to keep your store open on Shabbos is the ultimate zilzul chil Shabbos. Now the ayin b'shut nivas halavayna. Oidois mechira ho'adnayuda, vending machines. Okay, we discussed this at length already many, many times when we had a whole shiur on internet. Keeping a store open on Shabbos. So all of the internet shilas of having a website in operation over Shabbos and collecting money and having orders being processed automatically, all of those shilas are old shilas. They all are rooted in the vending machine shila, and here he presents it in some detail. The ayin b'shut nivasal levoyin ha'odus mechiris ha'otamati. Shuhu kli ha'imed, it's a kli, it's a machine that stands b'rechoivas kriya in the middle of the city by the bus stops. V'chasher mashlichin b'tzrech matbea, and when you put a coin inside, yadua, matbea yadua, a certain coin, it has to be the right exact coin. It spits out a candy bar. You put in a coin, out comes a candy bar. According to the value of the coin. Now, by the way, his machines are all mechanical machines. Our machines today, are all electronic. So there are other issues today. No one's watching. There are no security cameras. No one knows who. By the way, no one knows who owns this vending machine. It wasn't like the old today. You can go online. You can look up who was the owner of this company. In those days, no one had any idea who was the owner of the vending machine. So here's the question: what's so terrible if I on Shabbos go out into the street, I have money in my pocket, okay, we'll discuss the muksa shail in a moment, and I put money into the vending machine, in a mechanical vending machine, to buy a candy bar on Shabbos in a place where there is an Erev. What's the problem? The problem is, also lahashlech l'sech ha-madbeya, afilu b'mokam shen kan isa muksa ha-madbeya, kigoyin sheyesh le'kvar b'yodo ha-madbeya b'shoigek. Okay, so you'll tell me it's muksa, okay, let's avoid, it was an accident. I'm walking in the street to shul, and I discover my pocket is a quarter. So what is the halacha? Once already I'm carrying it, just don't stop. That's the halacha. Once I'm ready, I read. Once I already have the coin, the issur is to take the muksa. Once I already have the muksa by accident in my hand, I can now put the muksa down wherever I want. So once my hands are ready, I might as well go out into the street and put it in the machine and pull the lever and take out a candy bar. What's so terrible in that instance? What should be the problem? But let's say it was an accident. I picked up the quarter by accident. By mistake, I forgot today is Shabbos. I picked up the quarter. And now I realize, oh no, what did I do? Today is Shabbos. I'm not allowed to be holding on to this quarter. The halach is once the muktz is already in your hand, you can put it down wherever you want. I can put it down in my neighbor's house if I want. I can put it down once you already have it in your hand, there's no limit to where you can put it down. The issa muktz is taking it for the very first time. Once you already did the avera, you're holding it. It's not fire. You don't have to drop it. You can put it down where you want.
It's not an avera every second you're holding.
No, it's not an avera every second you're holding. No, it's not. It's not an avera. So once already it's in my hand in an oifen of heter because it was an accident. So now let me be permitted to put them this quarter into the machine to extract the candy bar. That's my question. Can say that don't get any ideas and put the coin in the machine. Also, hashlich man be'el usecha mishum. Why? Nekachu nemkar. By you putting the quarter in the machine, you are purchasing something on Shabbos. He's saying a chiddush. Nekachu nemkar does not have to be with human beings. You can do nekachu nemkar with robots. You can do nekachu nemkar with a machine. That's also a violation of your mimotzei chavsicha. Even though there's no person that's being makne lo hadavar ayin sham hatam v'gamim yesh li yishol. Now what about the other way around? Am I allowed to have my machines operating for non-Jews on Shabbos? I own the machine, and my machine is located, situated in Grand Central Station. So I'm doing, but I'm not there. I'm not actively doing business. The money is coming automatically. I have a website. The website is over, and I know for a fact that most of my customers are non-Jewish. Am I allowed to let my website continue to operate on Shabbos? I'm not actively engaged. I'm sitting in shul. I don't know what's going on the website. I don't know what's going on with my vending machines. So here we discuss it. V'gam, yesh li shol automatic. Automat. Kizeh. Also, lo lanichal beruchav. So first, he says over here. Let's see what he says. You're not allowed to leave the machine in the street. Mishum de lo yimalit shlo yikne echa b'shabes v'vikelov shel adam koinelo midin chotzer, because there's going to be a Jew. He's assuming that it's going to be a Jew that's going to do it. Uchamod kaim lunch as litain lenachu yimos sheyikne b'shabes v'afilu b'stam asar im yom hashuk. But all of this he's not explaining over here is going in a situation where there's going to be a Jew. Where the Jew is the one, the people who are coming to buy it is going to be a Jew. Okay, let's just go a little bit further, become clear. The next paragraph elaborates. The ayin b'shud marashak shagam kein nishal oidus ha'otamatin hanal teheishiv shim yesh li yishol kli zev v'hiyam enes b'shud rabin v'alokech einin nichnas l'rishus ha'yishol, and the buyer is not walking into your home. Oz mutar ledivrei hakol. Okay, so the point the only time that it's usur is when people have to come into your rishus. If the machine is located on your property, if you own a store and you leave the store open on Shabbos and people walk into the store and they put the money, then that is problematic. But if they're not coming into your physical location, and the machine is located in the street, and they're putting money into the machine, he says, and the Jew is not there, he says, Sir, Ludivri Akol its mutter, Togam Melocha deraisa mutter binas me'atzma b'Shabbos, even Melocha deraisa, Mecha Memchar is not deraisa. It's only Midrabon. Even if it was Melocha deraisa, it would be mutter on Shabbos, Melu b'Shulchan Aruch, Kol Shekin. Even certainly when it comes to business, even according to Tosfos that says that if a guy comes into your house and he buys something and he leaves after Shabbos, it's also aser because of a marisayin. People are going to think that the transaction place on Shabbos. That's only in that situation where the guy is coming into your rishus. Hocha shakol nasa miatzon. Here he's not coming into your house. Everything is happening automatically. V'gam shakli oimedes b'rishus Yisrael. And he's even more mekli. Even if the machine is in the rishus of Yisrael, mishum she'ein ha'yisrael oisekan shum maisa. He's not doing anything. Aval Maisa, he holds Yesh Lachmu B'Chaygavna, the Marshag is also Machmu like the Nivas Halavayna, that if the machine is located on your private property, then you should be machmer. If the machine is located on public property, then you can be makel. Upashat the b'shabbes v'yamtov also lo lishol hamoichel hanich v'akelim hanal hadvarim shenizrakim b'mechutz. It's davar pashat. You're not allowed to refill the machine. That is pashat. A Jew may not go to his vending machines on Shabbos, open them up, and fill them up. Even if the food that you're filling up is not muksa, ayin sham, sherech bezeh. Okay, so basically he says here, a vending machine that's in public, that's a public property, and you're not doing anything, or you're allowed to operate, as long as most people you know are goyim. And that is the heter, that's the number one heter, why you are permitted to operate a website on Shabbos, if you could assume, you can make the assessment that most of the customers are non-Jews, even though it's inevitable there's going to be a Jew who's not Shomer Shabbos, and you are causing him to be nichshol in engaging in business and doing isur midrabanan of going on the internet, which is certainly nisim midrabanan. And you tell me, but it's not really for him, because if he's not going to be going to your website, he'll be going to another website in a chanami. So it's not treva dinara. It's not absolute, but it's still, you're enhancing his experience. It's also midrabanan. But the rule is in halach, you go baser roiv. And since the majority of the people surfing the web on Shabbos and your website are non-Jews, then you are permitted. Of course, the exception is if you own a Judaica store. It's a real problem. If you own a Judaica store, who else is coming to your website on Shabbos? See, people who have, let's say, even bookshops. I don't know how art school deals with the Shaila. Art school, I'm sure people...
Well, Qatar.
What?
Qatar. Didn't you say that?
What's Qatar?
The Arab Qatar.
Yeah.
Sent to Zundel Berman. They wanted
They bought a Yol Moshe. Okay. So that they're goyim though. That's not a problem. They're goyim. Yeah, but you have to assume that most people coming to a Jewish going to a Judaica shop, or going to even a bookstore, even a religious art. Who buys the art schools from? A lot of non-religious people they buy.
I have a friend who wanted a cipher, and he did the statistics, and he says most people that buy him are Christian priests.
Are goyim? Maybe that's true. Maybe if that's talk of the fact, then you know. Today, you know, every IP address is recorded. It's ultra high tech. I'm sure there are techniques to determine if the people, you know, deal with population centers. If you really dig down deep, you can figure out. It probably will cost a lot of money to hire big professionals to dig that deep to make these assessments.
Can you shut down the website?
Yes, you can. Today, the technology exists to shut down. And then you get into the Shiloh, you get into the very big problem of time zones. We live in a very complicated world.
Yeah.
So you want to go through the entire world, you know, it depends on your time zone, their time zone, but the technology also exists. And anytime you come to web, anytime you come to a visitor, I mean, I deal with this in marketing, it's a very big thing. Every time a visitor comes to your website, you want to grab him. You know, you're paying money to get him. So how do you grab him? What's the number one technique? Customize on the fly, dynamically, the web page for this person. Like say, welcome from Brooklyn. That you have, I'm not joking. Welcome, so and so, our visitor from right with the IP address. You right away, you have an algorithm instantly.
Hello.
Now you can't get right the morning colo
on the screen.
On the side, you go to the morning colo. It tells you every on the side there's a bar. I just threw that in over the era. It tells you every visitor has come from, where they're what part of the world? What part of the world? A visitor has come from Fresh Meadows, Queens. A visitor has come from Israel, Tel Aviv. Right? Right? There's only two people who maybe come to the website. Chaval, okay. What can we do? But so you want to customize, and you want to customize that person. Everything is should begin. You say good morning. Good afternoon. Like if the person is coming and he lives in a different time zone, you say good evening, good morning from this city, this state, and we see that you're using Windows version 8, and you're using your browser's Chrome and your screen resolution, and you right away change. You right away change the web page to enhance the features that this person, he's using one browser, some browsers, they have more advanced features. So then you can present him with a slideshow or a video. And that video could not be visible if he's using an older browser or using an older type of operating system. You instantly get all the information when the visitor comes, you can customize. So these things can be done, then that will take into consideration halacha.
Can we go back a little bit?
What?
Can you have a partner, a guy, or...
Yes, that is ideal. That is the ideal thing to do. If you have a partnership with the guy, that's they are very complicated. Not earmark. You have an arrangement that all of the money that comes in on Shabbos goes to him.
His share.
There are numerous simanim in Shulchan Aruch that discuss the details of making such an arrangement, and that is absolutely the ideal thing to do.
Can you earmark it for saying that this is for my overhead and it's not for my profit? Can you do something like that?
No, you can't. If you don't have a partnership, You can't earmark that the money that I make on Shabbos will go to pay the gardener. You can't do that. Go to pay the taxes. You cannot do that. It does not work that way. You must have a real shutzis with a guy.
That's how grossing is operating.
They do that in real businesses. They do that in hotels. They do that online also. B&H, we discussed this. B&H, everyone listens to the commercials, so they do not operate on Shabbos. They do not take orders on Shabbos. You can browse. The website is open. You can browse it. They're assuming, they have a right to assume that most customers who are browsing their site are non-Jews. Okay, most are non-Jews. That's definitely an assumption. And Me'ikar Hadin, they can take orders on Shabbos. There's nothing wrong. The people hold themselves to a higher standard. All credit to them, and they're close. It's an amazing thing. Who was able to be Oymen in such an assignment? If I was, I couldn't do it. I'll tell you off the bat, I couldn't. I would go get a guy. I couldn't be Oymen in such an assignment. It's an amazing Kiddush Hashem. What they do? What?
Reichman did it.
Reichman, he did it in construction. That's why they say they discussed 9/11. His buildings, all of his construction. Shabbos. And they thought he was crazy. They thought it couldn't be done. And yet he put up his buildings in record time. He beat all industry standard records of putting up the whole one on the downtown. All those buildings. And in 9/11, miraculously, his buildings were untouched. And then very little, almost nothing. And they took note of that. They took note of that, like, there is definitely Hashkacha Pratis, that he was spared, and some people would want to, knows how these things work, would want to attribute to his Zahirus in Shabbos.
They were building a shul, and they gave out a contract, and the guy came on Shabbos to work.
Well, I was passing over here. There was a house. I was walking home on Shabbos, and someone, they're doing construction. Someone said, "I'm sure who else would buy a house here in Flatbush?" It has to be a. And they were banging away. I'm sure it was an accident. I'm sure the workers just came on their own.
Sometimes they just don't have control over what the contractor asks.
Well, you have to put your foot down. Avshem ilsa. You hire a contractor. And you have to be very...
Depends how the construction is done.
Yeah, they have subcontractors.
The contractor there.
Right, yeah. You have a contractor, and the contractor is sloppy. They hire other workers. Well, the workers don't even tell you. They just come on their own. They do whatever they want. They come on their own. They have a day off. It's ideal for them, and they don't think about it, or they think they're going to be quiet and no one's going to catch them. They do their work. Whatever it is. Oh, let's finish this up.
Going back to the when you said that if most of your customers are non-Jewish... Then you have a heter to keep your website running or have your machines.
Right, operate.
But what do you do with the money the Jews are putting into that?
It's bottle and all the other money. It's bottle, you can keep all the money with no problem whatsoever. Halacha follows Roy. If you have to follow Roy, or else you can't live. If you're going to be chayish for every single meat in this world, you couldn't live. You couldn't exist in everything. So you follow Roy. Okay, one more. Let's see. Also look at Shabbos. Halacha Lamed Beis. You're not allowed to acquire on Shabbos. Ayin b'shul b'kiv egish nistapik shami mutl liknas b'chol v'yoch lakinyin b'shul. It's an interesting shayla. Are you allowed, alum this shayla, I want to buy it during the week, I'm going to pay my subscription now, and I'll acquire it on Shabbos. So the kinyan will be chal on Shabbos, but the money is being paid in advance. So he says, "Sasafik goyim yesh." Now you know what this word means. I don't know the li tzit. I couldn't figure this out. Li tzit atzin the Shabbos. Anyone know what this means?
Legitimate?
Imyesh? Okay, Shemoichim Eze Dover Vagvul. It's something of a lottery. The Hugvul Hagoyul al Shabbos. The Noyes the Mitchil Bear of Shabbos Kisvei Af Artin, a ticket. The Shabbos Peschim Hasorim Mahoa Af Artin, Umachlitin Limilitin Hadover Hanimkar. Something of a lottery. It's a lottery type of system. Imutul Yisrael losses af arat.
It's an auction. What it is, it's a state auction for oil rights.
Okay.
So you put in your bid Erev Shabbos.
Okay.
But the decision is made in Shabbos.
On Shabbos.
When they open the bid.
Okay. So also, so do we say that since they're going to make the decision on Shabbos, I've done my part before Shabbos, they will make the decision on Shabbos, is it a problem? He holds that it's us. You should not put yourself in a situation where on Shabbos the transaction will be complete.
So you can't put in a bid on eBay.
You should not put, no, so he in the book where he holds you can. You can do it on Shabbos. Halacha l'maisa, the eBay bids. He has a chapter. I went, we once put in that sefer. We went through a lot of Shabbos in that book. I don't remember it anymore. But his maskana is you are allowed. You are allowed to enter into an auction where it's going to include on Shabbos.
That's interesting because if you put your bid on in before Shabbos, if you win the auction, that's because no one else put a bid in. Right? I mean, you're the last bid, so you did that.
You put in a bid for, let's say, for $5, and you said it that you should automatically
increase
it.
Oh, I see.
If someone else, you know, there are techniques. Then you can buy software. You know, there's all this kunsen. If you go and you keep it up, you wait to the very last second. Because if you go and you increase your bid. Now, then someone else will. You'll go higher and higher. So there's software. Everyone has the ethical questions, but everyone is very common. Where you like a plugin, you set your bid, and the very last second, it bids higher. So there's no more time for someone to outbid you. Not familiar with all these kunsen?
Yeah, exactly.
So it's true. It's true. It's a problem. The ayin b'shul k'saf soifah shelol lisa he holds l'lesa lassos kinyan be'er Shabbos al t'nai shimim Shabbos. So this is the auction shayla. I have to go back to the book. I remember reading that book. He has this on e-commerce, a whole book on e-commerce, all the various scenarios. Well, let's say you create an auction. That's what you should not do. You should not set up an auction where your auction will end on Saturday. There's a lot of psychology. When is the best time for the auction to begin and the best time for it to end? When can you expect to get the highest price? Everything is a science. What day of the week, how much you set it for, should there be a buy now, not a buy now. Everything is a chokhma. Everything has been explored.
Just a report on the other day, but when should you buy tickets for an airline?
Yeah, the best time?
Tuesday
at 3 p.m. is the best time.
There's been articles to debunk that.
So with online auctions, setting the auction, buying the auction, every little detail has been explored, has been studied, and analyzed. And if you go online, you can probably find the book to tell you how to do it to your best advantage. The ayin mishum aram shik mishut avnei tzedek shehelu glehate mishum shemuter. He disagrees. He holds you can buy, you can go and you can make a bid. And let the auction be concluded on Shabbos. I think that's the halacha we pass. And shalul hatam yishlam mitam shemuter lahaschel b'mloch b'Shabbos shetigmar b'Shabbos v'chein kosav b'shut imre yoshel lehatir. So he presents here a number of opinions that it's mutter, and indeed that's what sticks in my mind from the e-commerce safer that it's mutter to go and to enter into an auction, even though you know it's going to conclude on Shabbos. V'ayin, this is very interesting. V'ayin shemar shag sheyadai tegam lehatir v'hevi rayim me'agimal magen avram luni opinion aben gavald good case shechal b'shut. Shabbos, the Hoya Evshul Liftas Befin Zesh, Sheyitnu, Hamisha Sloim, the Erev Shabbos, the Loimar Sheyochla Pigim Shabbos, Drak She'ein lasoi ze mishum habrocha. Here's a very interesting club. Pinyin aben. When is a person mechuyev to pinyin aben? The very first moment. Now, pinyin aben is very complicated. When is the very first moment? Sometimes you really can't do pinyin aben until after chatzos, because if the baby is born right before sunset, you have to wait at least 29 and a half days. For pinyin aben l'machmir, you have to wait a chodesh. How long does it take the moon to revolve around the earth? It takes a little bit more than 29 and a half days. So therefore, but the pinyin aben has to be on day 30. On day 30. But it can be day 30, but it can be the 30th calendar day, but it's not yet 29 and a half days and hours. So sometimes you have to wait on day 30 until after Chatzos. Okay, whatever the situation is, you have to go to all the different examples. I was just involved in the people made a cheshbon for a person, but Pidyin Aben, him was okay. They could have had it early in the morning. L'chatchilo, you should have a Pidyin Aben early in the morning, like a bris milah. Zrizim makdimim lemitzvahs. The minhag ha'olam is no one has the, they don't have pinyin aben in the morning. Minhag ha'aben is we wait until after chatzos for eloy plug, because since there are situations where it's less than 29 and a half days and you have to wait until chatzos, so eloy plug, the minhag is not to have the pinyin aben until chatzos. But no, who's going to come to a pinyin aben at 12 o'clock in the middle of the day? Everyone's at work. So therefore the custom is to make the pinyin aben the very last minute before shkia. That way, people, you're only allowed to make it by day. You're not allowed to make a pinyin aben at night. It's not proper. It has to be before hesia, and the day before hesia. So here's a shiloh. What?
That's not a pinyin aben at night.
At night?
In Bensonhurst. He was born Rosh Chodesh
Elul
the first day.
Yeah. So he made it at night. Mitzoy Rosh Hashanah. Okay, some do it at night. Some make it at night. Okay, some do make it at night. All right. Okay, the different hugging. I'm aware of that. Okay. So here's a shiloh. Let's say the pinyin aben is supposed to be on Shabbos. You can't do it on Shabbos. Money is muksa mekhamemka. So you know what? Oh, so some do mitzvah. Some wait until the morning. It's different hagim. There are people who are makbid not do it at night, because the pinyin aben is persumei nisa to publicize the miracle of yitzias mitzrayim, and persumei nisa is typically done by day, not at night. Okay, that's a custom. However, if the zman is Shabbos, why can't we do it in advance? I'll give the kohen the money on Friday and tell them that they make a t'nai that the pigeon should be chal on Shabbos. Brilliant. So if you'll tell me that you can't make transactions on Shabbos like the auction, Shaila, okay, I understand why. You're not allowed to engage in business on Shabbos, and you're not allowed to set a business transaction in motion on Friday, so it should be chal on Shabbos. But if you're telling me it's mutter, so this would be the ideal thing to do, the answer is you have to make a bracha on a pinyin aben. When are you going to make the bracha? You can't make the bracha on Friday, and you can't make the bracha on Shabbos, because on Shabbos, the pinyin already, you're not doing a ma'isa. You're not doing the ma'isa pinyin. That's the only reason why you can't make the do the because of the bracha. But if not for the bracha, it's mashma. As far as the transaction is concerned, it's mutter. Why is the mutter? Why is the mekach memkon Shabbos? It's not mekach memkon Shabbos because I set the transaction to motion before Shabbos.
What happens if you don't make a bracha on pinyin aben?
It's also good.
Right. So,
but l'chatchila, you want to make a bracha. Once, how many people have zeicha to do pinyin aben? You do. You might as well make a bracha already.
If you want to do it, you would have to make a condition to be chal at 1 o'clock Shabbos.
Whenever the earliest man is.
Whatever it is, you say specifically.
But you can't make a bracha because you're not doing the ma'isa. The ma'isa you did on Friday, and then that's too early.
You also have to say, because if you don't say, that when does the kid out? Maybe it's not the full time. We say you have to.
Right, right, exactly. You're doing it on Friday, it's too early. It's not chal until, let's say.
If you do it on Friday, you would have to specifically.
Exactly.
Friday.
It should be chal on Shabbos afternoon. Shabbos 1 o'clock. So, but you can't make the bracha. Because I'm not doing, I'm doing the ma'isa when it's too early. down when it's chal. I'm not doing anything, so you can't make the bracha. That's the only reason why you can't do it in this fashion. But as far as the transaction is concerned, it's mashma. The transaction would be a good transaction. Oh, but it's chil Shabbos. It's not chil Shabbos because I put it into motion when it was not yet Shabbos. Oh, the same way it's not chil Shabbos for Pidyon HaBen, it's not chil Shabbos for eBay. It's the same exact thing. You can put into motion your transaction. That's his raya.
Rabbi, why is Pidyon HaBen not Doche Shabbos the way Milah is Doche Shabbos?
Because it can be done after Shabbos. There's no gezeres hakosav by Yom Hashmini. Shabbos is gezeres hakosav by Yom Hashmini. It must be done on day 8, no matter what. There's an extra word in the pasuk when we learn it must be on Shabbos. There is no extra word for Pidyon HaBen that it must be done the dafka on Shabbos. Therefore, it's a business transaction. The earliest time you do Pidyon HaBen is day 30. You can do 31, 32, 33. Chazal were not generous to put away Mekach HaMemkar for Pidyon HaBen, so you have to wait until Shabbos is over. And the technique of doing it in advance would be a good technique, if not for the problem of the bracha. That's why we have to wait. But we take out of this sugya that a transaction in advance is not chil Shabbos. My nafkamina, you're allowed to put a bid in for something on eBay erev Shabbos, knowing that it's going to be chal on Shabbos. Okay, so over here, the Shabbos direction ain't lost the mission bracha. The erev Shabbos. Ad kandiv magnav rama mashum the lava bracha lo hayim zeh shum iser mitzada kinyan b'Shabbos ayin shum. Okay, we will stop over here for today. Yeah.
So it's Shabbos. Can I make an arrangement to give bar mitzvah lessons to my
son? What are you going to say?
Yes, for dvar mitzvah smuter.
That's just like the aliyah, right?
Yes, that's for dvar mitzvah. That's smuter. That's smuter. Anything learning Torah is always smuter. And as far as paying is concerned, that's another issue. It's machloek. So paying is, you have to pay b'havlo. You pay for the preparation. You pay for something to during the week. So the chatchil, it's called schar Shabbos.
So if I don't go to the Shabbos, then I say I want $20 a session.
You shouldn't make that those arranged on Shabbos. No, that you can't do.
How is that different from the elite?
It's not really different. It's not really different. Aliyahs, you have no choice. Aliyahs, going. The money is going for the shul. It's going for a dvar mitzvah. For the $20, it's going to personal money. It's going for payment for service. So it's not proper to do on Shabbos.